All right, I think that was way easier than I expected.
It's the recording.
We'll just go with it. It said it's recording. All right, so like Brady said, again, I'm back. It's actually funny, I was thinking about it. The first time I taught, like, I've given many devotions in my life in many different scenarios, but my first time, like, actually teaching a room full of adults was when Brady asked me to teach the men's breakfast last year, and I remember I taught on joy, and it was really good for me because that's something that I needed personally in my life. It's something that I struggle with in an area I needed to grow in, and obviously in the last year, you know, God's grown me in a lot of different ways in HBI, and I've taught a lot of different things, but one consistent factor is I'm up here teaching again, and yet again, it's something that I really need to work on in my life. That's funny how that works, but you know, charity is it's so huge, and I've done some teaching on charity before, I've done some word study on charity, but getting into this really just showed me like that there's a lot more depth to this thing than I really had initially realized. And I'm not going to get too crazy with it, I've only got one verse that I'm covering today, but man, there's a lot to this. I thought about really just going through and kind of covering the bases of what charity is, but you know, I got to listen to all the recordings of the other guys, and we've pretty well covered it. You know, charity is love in action. You know, Sam did a really good job, and Jamie Davis did a great job. Brady's done really good. You know, there's been a lot of good teaching on this. I don't want to reteach that. I want to focus on my verse, but man, there's a lot of value to actually. Jamie Davis said something that really stuck out to me when he was teaching, and he said that charity is not passive. Charity isn't something that just happens on the side. It has to take intentional action. And that's really what I got today, is there's a lot of intentionality behind what it takes to have true charity. So I'm going to pray, and we'll get into it. I don't know how long this will take, so bear with me. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, God, I do. I just thank you for the opportunity to gather here with your men. God, after a busy week, that was it was a lot, but God, really it was a blessing to just get to watch you work all week. God, we thank you for that, and we pray that your word would not return void in the lives of these kids and even in their families, God, but that it would just have a lasting impact that would be seen in eternity. God, we thank you for your word and for the free access that we have to it. I just thank you for these men being willing to come and just hear what it is that you have for them, God. I just I pray that you would speak through me, God, that you would just use me as a vessel. I'm a fool, and I can't say the right things at the right times, but God, I know that you can use anybody. So I do pray that you would just speak through me, that this time would be profitable and encouraging, and that you would use it for your honor and glory. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. So we've been in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, just covering this list of all the things of what charity is and what it does. And Brady asked me if I would go over verse 7. And I'll just read it, but it's pretty simple. Just listing the things that charity does, starting in verse 7, it says, it beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. So I just decided, okay, there's four things there. I'm just going to break this down into four parts, and we're just going to jump into it. What do these things really actually look like in our lives? You know, if we want to have real charity, what does it mean to bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things? So we're just going to jump into those. For me, I've sat under a lot of good preaching and teaching of the Word. Obviously, just some life-changing stuff. I've grown up in it, but I really like when the Word of God is just practical. And this stuff is really practical. You know, if you can't take something out of this and apply it to your life today, then I mean, I did a poor job of preparing, because this is real stuff. So my title today is just Charity in Action, because charity is an action. It's not passive. And I've got four things, and the four things are just listed right here. Believeth all things, or beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. So the first one that we're just going to kind of jump into is it beareth all things. So if you look up the definition of beareth in the Strong's Concordance, it actually is also translated in your KJV as the word suffer or forbear. It's defined as, you know, to hide or conceal the errors and faults of others. And to bear is just kind of take something on. And, you know, that can be a physical action, but a lot of that's just like a weight. I've got a couple things I want to say here, but my first kind of sub point here is to have charity, to bear all things, is to be a man that your brother knows he can lean on in a time of need. You know, we are men, and naturally, you know, I don't remember who it was. I listened to a lot of teaching, but talking about how, as men, you know, we rely, we want to be independent in our pride, but we're meant to rely on someone. I think Sam was talking about that. Like, we're built to rely on our Creator, but we're also supposed to rely on each other. We are brothers in Christ. Be a man that your brother knows he can lean on in his time of need. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. I've got several different verses. We're going to be doing a little flipping. As I was putting this together, I was using my Blue Letter Bible app. I use it for a lot of Bible study stuff, and it wasn't loading. I did what makes sense, and I start tapping the screen over and over again. And when it finally loaded, it went straight through, and I accidentally clicked on the cross-reference thing. And I knew it was there, but I've never actually used it before. And I went through it, and I'm like, man, there's a lot of really good stuff in here. So I might have more cross-references than normal, but it's all out of the Word of God, so it's got to be good. Proverbs chapter 10. In verse 12, I'll read it. It says, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Maybe, here's just an example, your brother's struggling, and maybe you know that there's a sin that they're dealing with. Maybe that looks like just having a conversation with them about it, just talking to them, being real, and just getting through life with them, you know, because you know your brother's in sin. You're not going to be like, hey, pastor, over here, this guy's doing something he shouldn't. You know, charity is to bear that with them. I can think of an example just in my own life, and me and Sam would be pretty open about our testimony, so I say this, Sam's my brother. There was a time in my life, and this has gone both ways, but I knew that Sam was going through some things and was doing some things that maybe ought not be, and it came to a point where it was like, I felt burdened because I'm like, you know, Sam's my brother. Sam's been my brother my whole life, and I'm like, I just came to the point where I had to have a conversation with him. I'm like, dude, you know you can't live like this. And at the end of the day, I don't know how impactful that conversation was, but that's what this charity is. It's to bear all things. You don't see a person in sin and just be like, oh, we need to go straight to church discipline. No, go talk to them. Go help your brother out. Bear that sin with them. And there's been many times that Sam's had to call me out, you know, even recently, just serving in ministry in my flesh. He's had to be like, man, that's not the way you need to be doing that. I mean, like, there's value to bearing these things with your brothers. That's what this is talking about. Be a man that your brother knows he can lean on. Bear these things with him. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. I should have put tabs on my Bible so I could flip faster. Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. You know, as men, naturally, we're responsible for a lot. You know, I don't have a family yet, but most of you guys do. There's a lot of weight to that. You know, your wives, the women, are the weaker vessel. You're supposed to bear their infirmities. There's a lot of times where we have younger men in our lives that look up to us. We're supposed to be able to bear some of the weight of the things that we're going through. I know Sam talked a lot about this in his, and being at a point in his life where he felt like, you know, everybody's relying on him and drawing from him, and there was nobody dumping into him. I know that I've definitely felt like that in my own life. I have the opportunity, I lead a young men's Bible study with the help of Sam, and you know, I invest in young men, and I feel like I have a lot of conversations with these guys in different scenarios where they're struggling with something, and I try and give them counsel, and you know, I pray with these guys, I pray for these guys, and I'm just trying to encourage them all the time. But there's been times in my life and it's like, man, I'm not doing so well. Why is nobody here to encourage me? Like, why am I the one that always has to give out? Why is nobody giving in to me? Well, that's part of it, man. You're a man. You know, you don't want to just say, be a man, man up, but be a man. Bear all things. We're supposed to bear the infirmities of the weak, guys. People are supposed to be able to rely on you. And like Sam said, that requires you to rely on Christ. You know, like Brady said, what you fill your cup with, that's what's going to spill out on the people around you. There are people relying on you, like it or not. What are you overflowing with? What are you giving to them? When they rely on you, are they getting what you've been filled with, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, or are they getting you in your flesh? So then that's how they turn around and act. Man, people are supposed to be able to rely on you, and you're supposed to be able to bear it. So get in the Word of God so you can. I just thought that was really cool getting into it. My second point here is, along with this point of bearing all things, is having charity may look like a willingness to live in an uncomfortable or difficult state for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. Sometimes it just looks like doing some hard things to bear some difficult stuff for the furtherance of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:12. I'll just give some backstory as I flip to it, but this is Paul when he's talking about essentially receiving money from the church for all of the work that he does. And I'm not going to read the whole passage for time's sake, but what it says here in 9:12, it says, if others be partakers of this power over you, talking about receiving money from the church, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things. That word suffer is bear. But suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Man, I don't know all the details of Paul's life. You know, I know he was a tent maker, but I know that he was a man dedicated to the work of the Lord. And he said that we could have taken money from you. Like, we deserved it. We earned it. Like, rightfully. It says a couple of verses earlier, you know, if we have sown into you spiritual things, is it a great thing that we shall reap unto you carnal things? Like, we're investing in you. It's not a crazy thing for us to ask money back. But he says that we didn't for the furtherance of the gospel. And I'm sure that put him in a tough spot sometimes. Obviously, Paul was a man that lived by faith, but he was willing to make or to go through a difficult time, a difficult situation, to struggle because he knew that because of it, there would be more impact for the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of God. You know, maybe in your own life that could look like a lot of different things, but you know, maybe it's committing to do something difficult for the Lord. What's that situation that you know is going to make your life harder? It's not going to be easy. It's going to be a struggle, but you know it's the next right step. You know, HBF does a great job of just laying out a clear path of growth. You know, we've got D1 and D2. I think most of you have been through D1 and even D2, but then even there's HBI. And I understand that not everybody's called to HBI, but there is a next step in your life. It doesn't matter who you are. Are you going to take it? You know, I think of a really great example of this, and I don't just say this to puff anybody up, but this is out of my heart. This summer, I've got to spend a lot more time with Nick Laverne. Obviously, he's a man of God. He's committed to the work of the Lord. He's leading the junior high ministry. He has 4 kids. 3 of them are either in sports or gymnastics or whatever else. He has one that needs attention all the time. He chases them all around. He runs a company. You know, it's not a competition for who's the busiest person, but if we had one, Nick might win. I mean, that guy is busy all the time. He works 7 days a week, all the time, running crews of guys, coordinating stuff. Like, dude gets after it, and that's just how he is. Runs on 5 or 6 hours of sleep every night, and I understand we're all busy, we all do hard things, but the dude's dedicated, and I know that God's just been working on his heart in the last couple of years. You know, he's got a lot going on. He doesn't have any free time, but HBI's there, and he has a burden for it, and this year he got signed up. That's a huge commitment, and that's going to be hard for him. Now, I've talked to him some, and I've made some jokes. I'm like, man, it's not even going to be that hard. God will get you through it. It's not going to be bad. Nick, if you listen to this, I might have lied a little bit. It's going to be hard, but God will get him through it. I have faith in that. But that's what that is. That's what this bearing all things. It's being willing to commit to something that's going to be really difficult because you know it's for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. It's going through a hard time doing a hard thing because you know it's what God has for you. It's going to be hard for them. I mean, HBI is difficult. And this could look like whatever the next thing is in your life. It's not just HBI. That's just an easy example. But it's being willing to bear the hard thing for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. That's what bearing all things is. Bear these things with your brothers. Be a man that people can rely on. And do the hard thing for God. Be in a difficult situation for the furtherance of the gospel. So that's beareth all things. And then the next thing, point 2. Believeth all things. Just rolling right into it. Normally I give a point and I read a verse, but that's it. It's believeth all things. So just defining that word believeth. if you look up in the Strong's, it's to credit or have confidence in, to trust in God as able, and then it gives a list of, you know, all the things that God can do. If you look it up, it's about just the definition that you would expect from believeth all things. Like, okay, you have, it's basically, essentially faith. You know, you believe that all these things are true, you're confident in it, whatever else. But what I put in is that you trust that God is able to do all things. And obviously that's a pretty general statement, but, you know, is that true in our lives? This believeth all things, it's an absolute, I have it written down, I'll show you my point. To believe all things is to know that God is who He says He is, and that He can do all the things that He says He can do. It's to know that without a shadow of a doubt. To know that God is who He says He is, and that He can do all that He says He can do. And, you know, I know I could ask every one of you in this room, privately, individually, you would say, absolutely, I believe that. But are we really living like that? Do we have an absolutely unwavering belief in the fact that God is who He says He is? That He's in control of your life? That He's going to do what He said He can do? You know, Sam talked about this a little bit, but it rolls right along with this point. Romans 8:28. I love this verse. This has been a huge verse in my own life personally. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." It says it right there. We know that all things are going to work together for good to them that love God. We all love God. I have faith in that. We live in a church, or we're in a church that loves God, really. But do you know, do you have absolutely unwavering belief in the fact that all things are going to work together for good? Man, like, maybe you're in a really difficult situation. You know, I don't have kids yet, but maybe your kid's sick and it doesn't look good. Or maybe it's struggles in your marriage, or it could be a million different things. Maybe you're in Dale's situation and all of a sudden you need a heart transplant. Like, that's a big deal. Do you really have faith that these things are going to work together for good? Because that's what believeth all things is. You know, Sam talked about this a lot in the sense of, well, we all know that God's in control and He's going to direct our steps. Like, He's going to guide our lives. We know that, but do we really live like we believe that? Because I would say that, absolutely, I believe, you know, God's in control of my life. But, you know, maybe you make a U-turn at the wrong time and it took two people making a mistake at the same time, and, you know, you're $25,000 cars totaled in the middle of the road, and, you know, it's a miracle that you're not in the hospital. It's like, why does that happen? You know, obviously I made a mistake. It was just terrible timing. Doesn't work out really great, but why does that happen? You know, I fell asleep. My cruise set 78 miles an hour. Rolled my car four times. Should have died, but I didn't. Why does that happen? That might be part of it. But, like, really, those are just examples from my own life. But, you know, whatever it is, I mean, those are even light things. Guys, we go through some stuff. And as men, we're supposed to just bear it. But I know in my life there's been times that I've just had to ask God why. But do you really believe that all things are going to work together for good? Because there's some times where it's kind of hard to believe that. You know, people go through some terrible things. Children die. You know, people get cancer. People fall away from the church and leave. And obviously we know that a lot of this stuff is the result of sin. But do we really have faith that all things are going to work together for good? Do you really believe that? Because there's been times in my life that I know I haven't. Psalm 119:9, I'll flip over there. Psalm chapter 119 in verse 9, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word." That's just another example of something the Word of God says that we know it's true, but are we living like we believe it? You know, not everybody in here is a spring chicken, but I believe that this applies to all of us. In my mind, there was going to be a couple of young guys. Praise God for faithful men. But, you know, it says, I mean, mean, I'm sure we're all young in God's eyes. We've got a long way to go. But, you know, we know the Bible says stuff like this. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Like, why can't I get out of this lifestyle of sin? Why can't I overcome just this lust? Why do I keep coming back to this? Why do I keep struggling with it? Whatever that is, whatever that thing is in your life, why can't I get past this? How do I cleanse my way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. And we know that's true. We're like, yeah, we know you got to read the Bible, but are you doing it? You're like, why can't I overcome this sin? Why do I have this doubt in my life, this struggle, whatever it is? But you're reading your Bible twice a week. It's not going to do it, man. It's not going to cut it. And we know the Bible says it. We know it's true. But are we really living like it's true? Because if you are, then you're going to take it seriously. You want to cleanse your ways. You want to get out of that pattern of sin, that struggle, that difficulty, whatever it is. Take heed to the Word. Get in the Word of God every day. Man, it's stuff like that. We know it's true, but are we actually living like it's true? Because there's a difference there. And then what I've got next in this, believeth all things. God makes many promises to us in His Word, but are we living like they're true? That's already what I'm kind of talking about, but I've got a list of just a couple different promises that God makes. I'll flip over to them. Romans 8:31. I'll just go there and read it. But it's just more the same thing of just some of the promises that God makes us that, like, just foundationally we know, yeah, that's true. Like, I believe that. But do we live like it? Romans 8:31, it says, what then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? We know it's true, but are we living like it's true? Are we going out like we can't lose a battle? Because I know there's times that I don't. I go out defeated before I ever even started. Because I'm like, this isn't the best way to go about this. This isn't the most efficient way. This maybe isn't the smartest way. This isn't how I would do it. But we already know we've won. We're more than conquerors. Go down to verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We know that we've won, but we won't even go out and fight because maybe it's not the way we would have organized the fight. Maybe we don't like the strategy to the battle, so we're like, well, I'll get on the next one when maybe I have more of a say in it or it works the way that I think it should. Sometimes God just wants you to be faithful and just go out and do things. Guys, we've already won. Are we living like that? 2 Peter 3:9. I'll go over there. 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day. That's 2:9. That's a good verse, but not the one I want. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It says it right there in the Word. God doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell. He wants all of us to go to heaven. But when we're walking down the street and we see the guy with long painted nails and colors in his hair for some reason, we're like, oh, well, that person's too far gone. If I say anything to them, it's not going to get through to them. Clearly, they've chosen their lifestyle. God says that He doesn't want that person to perish. It says He's not willing that they should perish. But we're not even willing to open our mouths because it's like, well, they're not going to get it, so I'm not even going to try. If what God says is true, if we really believe it, then we ought to at least speak. You know, we did the World Cup outreach recently, and I saw some interesting folks in Kansas City. Some attire. Some people that I don't think did much with the tract that I handed them. But, you know, we're still called to tell them. God wants their soul just as much as He wants yours and the person next to them. If we really believe that, we shouldn't treat them any different. We shouldn't change the way we talk to them any different. We just got to give them the gospel. And we all know this, guys. This is stuff that we believe to our core. But are we living like we do? Because I know there's times that I don't. And that's why this has convicted me. And then the last one, Ephesians 3:20. It says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Do we believe that? It says that God can do above and beyond what we could even think. You know, what does that look like? That's why we pray. You know, we hear that, you know, a brother got a sudden need for a heart transplant. You know, my aunt got some form of cancer or something. And what I heard, the first time I heard it is, this is terminal. She's got like 6 months. That's the first report that I heard. We've got people that, you know, get in car accidents that they should die. Awful things happen. And we pray and we're like, oh, we're supposed to pray, God, please heal them. Do we really believe that He's going to do that? God's able to do things that are beyond what we can even think of. So whenever we're going to God in prayer and asking Him to do these things, are we really expecting the fact that He's going to change lives? You know, you're at youth camp and you're praying, you know, God, work in the hearts and the minds of these kids. But are we really praying like, God, I know that You can do more than I could ever imagine. You could save every single lost person here. Don't pray with the limitations of your faith. Pray knowing that God can do above what you could ever ask or think. And live with that kind of faith. Man, believe that. God can do more than what you could ever even dream of. And a lot of the times the reason it doesn't get done is because our faith is so weak that we're not even willing to go out and fight a battle that can't be won. God can win, but because the circumstances don't look great or because it's not the way that we think the battle should be fought, we don't even try. That's not charity. Charity is believing that God is who He says He is and that He's going to do what He says He can do. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. God can do it. Are you going to live like He can? That's believing all things. And then the third one I've got here is hope with all things. Hope. I did some Bible study last night because in my own life, what's the difference between hope and faith? Because obviously, conceptually, we know there's a difference, but you look at it and the two are very similar. And you know, there's even a verse in Romans that talks about being saved by hope, but Ephesians 2 says that we're saved by grace through faith. And so it's like, what's the difference here? I was struggling with this as I put this together, so I hope this puts some light to it. Maybe you guys have done this study in your own lives, but just a little bit of Bible study here. Hope is, according to the Webster's 1828, hope is a desire of some good accompanied with an expectation of obtaining it. You desire something, but you expect, at least to an extent, you expect to obtain it. The Strong's defines hope as to wait for salvation with joy and full confidence. It's that full confidence in it. And you know, I think that that's kind of what we would think of hope as we think of hope, but it's expecting something it's hoping for something with the expectation of obtaining it. It's something that you want, but you know that at the end of the day, at some point, you are going to get it. You know, we've been saved, but we have this hope for eternity, and we know that it's going to happen. We have faith in it, but we have an expectation that that is going to come. I looked up a couple of different things, and as I was reading through some stuff, these are some definitions that this was how it kind of simplified it for me. Faith is the present assurance and conviction of spiritual realities. So it's kind of like that belief. It's what you believe in. The things that you choose to put your quote-unquote faith in. It's the present assurance and conviction of spiritual realities, while hope is the confident expectation of future promises. Faith is what you believe in. Hope is what you're expecting. And the two, they go together. So here's how I kind of summed it up in a way that kind of made sense in my brain at a time when my brain wasn't really working. It says, faith and hope, well, they work hand in hand. Faith is the belief and hope is the expectation. Having charity is to have both of those things. You have to believe it, but you also have to expect that it's going to come through. Obviously, we have faith in God and we believe that what He says is true, and we pray for people to do and pray that God would do things. We pray that lives would be changed through VBS. We pray that people would be healed. But do you actually expect it? Because that's what charity is. It's to believe in it, but expect that it's going to happen. And we have hope in Christ because we expect that He's going to return. We know He is, but it's an expectation. Romans 8:24. This is that verse I was talking about. Okay, that's the wrong way. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. It says, For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Sorry. We're saved by hope because it's the expectation. You know, we're saved by grace through faith, but we're also saved by hope. The two have to work together. And if you're going to have charity, if you're going to live out charity, you have to have both. You have the faith, but you have to expect that God is actually going to do what He says He can do. It's the expectation. I'll read this passage because I actually thought that this was cool. This is a practical example of this. Luke 7. I'm going to read a little passage about the woman washing Jesus' feet. Starting in verse 37, it says, "And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner." And then going down to verse 44, it says, "And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I have entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time that I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment." And then in verse 48, it says, "He said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven." The reason that this woman did all of these things, this example, this isn't a parable, this actually happened, was because of hope. She came to Jesus knowing who He was, having faith in Him, but she came to Him with the hope that there's something that's going to come from this. There's this expectation that Jesus can change my life. She had faith in Him, but she actually went into action because of the hope and the expectation that God was going to do something through it. Do you actually come to God with the hope that He's going to do what He says He can do? That He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think? Is that an expectation in your life? Or are you just like, well, I know God is real and I know that some things are going to work out. Or is that expectation? Do you really think He's going to do what He says He can do? It ties right into the last point. And then my last thing here is Philippians 1, chapter 19 through 21. And we'll get on to the last point and be done. Philippians 1, chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by my life or by my death, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." That's what hope is. It's the earnest expectation that in nothing I shall be ashamed, and then with all boldness, as always, Christ shall be magnified. Do you expect Christ to be magnified with your life? Because if you're living your life for God, that should be the expectation. It shouldn't be, maybe I'll stay out of sin this week. Maybe I won't fall back into the same pattern of self-destruction. And, you know, maybe I'll lead my wife the way I should. Or maybe I'll encourage the men that are around me like I know I'm supposed to. Because if I'm staying in the Word of God, that can probably happen. That's not what hope is. Hope is the expectation that God is going to do what He said He can do. It ties right into the belief. See, belief and hope. I was actually putting this together. And I'm like, man, these two are really similar. And it's because we're supposed to have both. They go hand in hand. You have to believe that God can do it, but then you have to expect it. Man, it's the expectation that God's going to come through. Are you living like that? If you want to have charity, you have to have the belief and the hope. They got to go together. And then the fourth thing, I hope that makes sense, because I was really struggling to differentiate the two last night. And it was like, if they're so similar, why not just do one? But the fact that they're listed separately, there's something to that. No, the fact that, you know, it says by grace are you saved through faith, but then it also says in Romans that it's through hope. There's something to that. You gotta have both. And, you know, maybe somebody can do a deeper study on that and let me know what they get out of that, but there's something to the fact that you gotta have faith and you gotta have hope. Expect that God's gonna do it. And my last point will be done. It's endureth all things. To endure, according to the Strong's, is to persevere under misfortune and trials, to hold fast to one's faith in Christ. I think you guys got a pretty good idea of what it is to endure. You know, it's to go through the hard stuff, but doing it the right way. I just got a list of things that the Bible says specifically we're supposed to endure. It says, just in the New Testament, we're supposed to endure persecutions, afflictions, temptations, tribulations, and hardness. Men are supposed to go through some hard times. And not just we can or we do, but we're supposed to. Because that's how God forms you into the one man that He wants you to be. We are going to go through these things. Persecutions, afflictions, temptations, tribulations, and hardness. I turned 21 this week, and I've seen some of these in my own life, and I know that there's going to be a lot of harder times to come. Because the adversary is attacking. And sometimes God's going to let you go through a hard time to grow you for something coming later on down the road. These are things that we have to endure. Here's just a couple examples of that. Job chapter 13 verse 15. I really like, this is the response that we're supposed to have to these things. That's not it. Job chapter 13 verse 15. We are almost done, guys. It says, this is Job basically talking about what God's doing in his life. He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. Obviously, we know the story of Job. The guy went through some tough times. He had everything taken from him. All of his possessions, his own children, his wife turned on him. The dude had it rough. Obviously, we know the story. But this is his response. He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I will maintain my own ways before him. That's what it means to endure all things. It's to go through things that just seem absolutely inconceivable. Why would God let this happen in my life? Why do I have to go through this? Why? You know, we've asked that question. I've asked that question in my life. Why? Maybe God's using it to grow you. Maybe He's using it as a test to see if you're going to endure. And maybe He's going to see what your character looks like while you're going through it. Because to endure isn't just to go through hard times. You know, that's my last point, is to endure is not just to go through hard times. It's to go through hard times while maintaining a testimony that reflects Christ. Like it or not, you're going to go through hard times. That's a guarantee. I can't read your future, but I can tell you that. Hard times are coming. And that doesn't mean your entire life's going to be miserable all the time. God's going to bless you if you're faithful to follow Him. But hard times are going to come. That doesn't mean you're going to endure. You're probably going to get through them one way or another. But to endure all things is to go through those hard times, those persecutions and afflictions, temptations, tribulations, hardness. It's to go through that and maintaining your testimony in such a fashion that the whole time it reflects Christ. You know, whatever it is, I've given a lot of examples of some hard things that maybe don't make sense. Are you going to maintain your testimony while you're going through that? You're going to have to go through it either way, but how are you going to live? Because to endure is to reflect Christ through all of it. And then I had a couple of references, but I'll just aim in here. James chapter 1, verse 12. And I'll be done. James chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptations, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. That's just one of the things, temptation, but blessed is the man that endureth. It says, when he's tried, he shall receive a crown of life. There's going to be some trying times, guys. There's going to be some difficulties, some struggles, some things that just don't make sense in the moment. And that's okay, because we don't have to understand why these things are happening. We don't have to understand why God is doing them. We just have to believe that all things work together for good, have the expectation that God's going to do what He says He can do, and endure it. Bear it and endure it. Again, look at those two things. They're very similar. Bearing all things and enduring those all things. They kind of go hand in hand, but there's a reason that they're listed separately. They both have their own individual purpose. You got to be a man that people can rely on, and you do that by enduring all things, by going through the hard times and reflecting Christ the whole time. Hard times or not, people are going to look to you. They're going to rely on you. What are they going to see when they look at you? I really enjoy putting this together because, you know, this is something that I struggle with. Charity is, it's a big thing in my life because it's something that I need to work on. You know, if you pulled someone who knows me really well to the side, you know, you catch Sam in the hallway and ask him about me, I would pray that, you know, anybody would say that I'm a man that does live for the Lord, that I desire for God to use me. And I would say that that's true about my life. But, you know, if you catch Sam in the hallway, he's not going to be like, yeah, Brenton's a pretty hopeful person. It's something I need to work on. Like, this is written to me, guys, and I hope that maybe it's encouraging or profitable in your own lives. But I mean, this is real stuff. This is practical stuff, because if you want to have charity, it's not just, you know, love people and maybe do it in action by saying, you know, I actually love you and give someone a hug. Like, that's great. Charity is doing some real stuff for the kingdom of God, and maintaining this, man. That's, I think there's a lot to that. So I've got a lot that I could say, some stuff that I wanted to say, but man, I pray that was encouraging, because I know that God was speaking to me through that. So do you want me to pray, or you want to pray? I'll pray and we can get out of here. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for your word and for the truth that is in it. God, I thank you for just allowing us to get something new out of it every time we spend time in it, Lord. I just thank you for the instruction that it gives us and the direction that you continue to provide me each day, Lord. I know that you do have a purpose and a plan for my life, but I have a long way to go and I have a lot of areas to grow in. So God, I thank you for the direction that your word provides. God, I thank you for these men and for their faithfulness to you, God. Our church is a busy church. There's a lot going on, God, and there's infirmities in the body. There's work to be done. There's mission trips. There's Bibles being put together. God, the list doesn't end, but we know that you are in all of it. And God, I just thank you for allowing us to be a part of it. I pray that you would bless these men as they go out. Just keep them healthy, keep them safe, and use us, grow us in our charity, use us according to your will, God. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
That was really good. Thank you, Ben.